This is the Gambling Gauchos.
Welcome to the Gambling Gauchos. I am Rob Bro. He's Kyle Jacobson, head of relations. I want to appreciate everyone that reached out today. By the way, we're recording in the Cardinals Sports Center studio. You can gear up. We're going to meet there on Saturday at 11. I'm going to say 11:10 because I actually do have to work Saturday morning, but as close to 11 as possible. And we'll head to Alton for some Rojinho barbecue. So if you want to meet there at like 10:30, do some shopping. The hats are sold out Gambling Gaucho wise. Hopefully we'll get some new ones in soon, but still plenty of shirts, tech clothes. We bought some baseball gear for an all-star team the other day. The Dodgers have moved on to the Western All-Stars. Run ruled a team yesterday in the tournament.
Let's go.
And then they lost to the 14-year-old Cooper Pirate team. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. They all look older, though. It's a 10-11 league. The first baseman who came in to close the game is like 6'2".
He had a beard.
I am 12, yeah. But no, they're a really good little league team, so. Appreciate the Dodgers who have moved on, and we're rooting for them.
Hey, if we needed to sue the other team for like plagiarizing their age and committing fraud, we'd call Barnett, Howard, and Williams.
Absolutely.
BHWlawfirm.com, three Texas Tech grads based in Fort Worth, but they do cases all across the state of Texas. And if your select baseball season ends a little bit sooner than you thought it would, you can sign up for a summer camp with Code Ninjas here in Lubbock. If you need something else to occupy your time, Gauchos listeners, they get $10 off using the promo code Gauchos at checkout. That's good for $10 off any summer camp at the Code Ninjas Lubbock location. And we also want to say thank you to Diversified Lenders for their support of the Gambling Gauchos. You can try to figure out what they do at diversifiedlenders.com.
Longtime sponsor, Diversified Lenders. He would say our first sponsor, but
and
I don't know
we will
if that's
let
completely
him
accurate.
Think that.
Certainly one of our first, and we appreciate him for believing in us.
Yeah.
Even if he likes to razz Kyle because it's hilarious when he does that.
Yeah. It's a little bit dog days of summer, so we don't have a ton to get to, but to account for that, we have two very special guests joining us in the Cardinal Sports Center studio today. In just a minute, you'll hear a portion of our interview with former Red Raider point guard Matt Mooney. He's doing a summer camp in Lubbock this year. The full interview is available on our Patreon, patreon.com/gamblinggauchos. We're also going to talk to the very first goal scorer in Lubbock Matadors history from across the pond, Luke Jones. So stick around for some of that. But first, Rob, I guess we have to get into the lists.
Yeah, man. So we talked about the lists leading up to this week. You've put out the basketball arena one since. Were you prepared? Let me just interview for you for a second.
Yeah.
Were you prepared for the amount of vitriol that Kansas fans were going to lob at you for putting them second when the obvious troll job was the eighth place where the Texas Longhorns were not even listed? It was just Texas Tech asterisk in Austin.
Right.
And you could have done Texas Tech asterisk in Waco. Texas Tech asterisk in Fort Worth, even though you didn't win there this year, you were 50-50 in attendance like you always are when you go to Fort Worth games because TCU has a small fan base. But you chose Austin to do it, which is awesome. But Kansas fans, man, they were very upset.
Yeah, so a couple things. It is 8:02 p.m. right now on Tuesday night, and as you were asking me that, I pulled up the Gauchos DMs, and I have this from 7:40 p.m., I'm reading this for the first time, but it's from a Kansas fan. I know where it's going.
Yeah.
Dog, are you high? Tech don't have the best home court advantage in the Big 12. I will give you all props for going undefeated at home. Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
But KU has done that a million times. Loudest arena in the country, dog. Bill Self only has like 15 losses at home in his entire career, bro. Rethink that list. That was all one sentence. No punctuation.
I love the stat. Everyone has it different, by the way. The Bill Self has 32 losses in the last 47 years, or Bill Self's lost less home games than he's lost teeth in his lifetime. It's like everyone has the same thing they want to say, but All of them are different. None of them make sense. And look, Kansas and Allen Fieldhouse, Hilton Magic, and Texas Tech, all at their best are 1A, 1B, 1C.
Okay?
But right. in this moment, right now, like Kansas didn't win their national championship at Allen Fieldhouse, right?
Yeah.
Sure, they're the better team. They won the national championship. But they did not rise to the level of their fans like Texas Tech did.
Are you familiar
Texas
with
Texas Tech's fans are as much as part of the game as anyone else in the country?
Yeah, I got you. Are you familiar with what a red herring is?
Yes. I also learned some other psychological terms in this thread, like the Cushing Barnett, the Cushing Barrett syndrome or something.
Barnett, Howard, and Williams
yeah.
curve. So a red herring is when, like, if you and I are saying that hamburgers are really good.
Yeah.
And somebody comes out of left field and says, well, pizza is good. And you didn't, it's like, okay, yeah, but we were talking about hamburgers.
Right.
So I was talking about home court atmosphere and everyone comes in with that stat. Well, Bill Self is a great coach. Yeah. I didn't say he wasn't. And the fog is historic. Yeah, it is. We have a national championship. Yeah, you do. Like, I'm absolutely not disputing any of this.
All of it's true.
But the singularity of the atmosphere at Texas Tech last season, and this is not even necessarily my perspective. I mean, it is, but national pundits, the guys calling the games, the guys sent to write about the game said,
yes.
I mean, I'm going to quote our good friend, Jeff Goodman, friend of the show. He said, this shit doesn't happen anywhere else. And he said, it doesn't happen at Cameron Indoor. It doesn't happen at Rupp Arena. It doesn't happen at Fog Allen. So don't take my word for it. It's not, that was not even intended to be a homer pick troll job. Like,
no.
And my mistake was not specifying right now, because KU fans in their defense were like, well, over the last 20 years or over the last 30 years. Yeah. Right. I would have, if that was the metric, I would have put Tech behind Gallagher, Iba, West Virginia, Hilton, all that.
Yes.
And so had I said right now, maybe it would have minimized that to some extent, but to answer your question, I was surprised only in the sense that, like I alluded to on our last episode, this is an art where you put one or two obvious trolls to spark some discord. And that was number 8 on the list, saying that Tech has home court advantage in Austin. It wasn't the slide at Kansas.
No.
But to give our listeners a preview, when we rank the best Big 12 basketball coaches, I am now going to put Scott Drew ahead of Bill Self, only because Kansas fans were so outlandish. Because now I know what kind of reaction I
can't do that. Have. You can't do that.
I mean, 2 natties at Kansas or 1 at Baylor. What's more impressive? There's an argument to be had there.
He's won 15 Big 12 championships in 20 years.
Yeah, I'll save it for later. But
oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
You should double down tomorrow.
It's funny, too. I've used this with some Kansas fans who are also Chiefs fans, and they like have that in their Twitter bio. I'm like, hey, man, it's cool. We love Mahomes just as much as you do. And they're like, okay, yeah, never mind, man. Go Chiefs. Forget what I said.
Well, and like another thing is, and this is something I never understood with Big Game Boomer, because I wasn't actually doing it. And I'm really not doing these. I'm just like getting the replies because I'm also logged into the Twitter account. But the amount of you're wrong, you're stupid that you get off of putting up your opinion is incredible. It's more than I've ever even got. I've written for 7 years on the website. Okay. And I've put up a lot of opinions, but it's usually like maybe 5 or 10 comments. And generally, because I guess I'm writing about Texas Tech, it's like just Texas Tech fans bashing me. But to have an entire fan base at your absolute palm is pretty hilarious. I also just saw that you responded to this guy.
Yeah, here's 2 more thoughts on this. One, it's almost easier when 500 people are coming at you instead of 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Because I would like take a little bit personally if the mob wasn't coming after me, it was just one guy was like, hey, this is a really stupid take. Like, y'all suck on this episode. I'll be like, well, shoot. Like, I wonder why you think that. I want to do better.
Yeah.
But when it's 500 people, you have no choice but to have thick skin. And like, it's fun to like play with them. Like, you can't, it's less offensive and insulting almost when it's that way. But the other thing I was going to mention, Rob, if Texas Tech wins the national championship in football this year and in the following April, some guy on Twitter says something mean about Tech football, I will not lose a single wink of sleep over that. I'll be like, dude, I have a natty. You can say whatever you want about Tech football. I will die happy. Yeah. These people are not 3 months removed from a national championship win, and they're mad at a list on Twitter.
More Texas fans brought up 70-35 than Kansas did while we won a national championship. In fact, I don't think I saw that from any Kansas fans.
Oh, I saw it for sure.
A lot?
Yeah.
I guess mostly I just saw the Will Bill Self is God.
Well, I guess not a lot. I mean, and I didn't read through all of them.
Maybe I saw four or five, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what I saw.
The Texas fans that said 70-35 because the Texas Tech podcast, like, didn't respect Texas enough. It's hilarious to me.
Well, and I love that because you're big, bad, mighty Texas, right? You have every advantage, every resource, more money than anybody. And the only feather in their cap since Vince Young left is beating Tech in football 70-35.
That's the whole thing.
It's hilarious to me.
And that's the last good thing they did last year. Because the rest of the year, they went 5-7 and lost to Kansas in double overtime.
Yeah, and I saw one of them coping. He was like, hey, let's face it. Like, we were both bad at football last year, so we're basically arguing who was worse. I'm like, well, I mean, Tech wasn't great, but we hoisted a bowl trophy. You guys were 5-7 because you lost to Kansas watching on your couch. Like, no, Tech wasn't elite at football. We weren't really good, but we weren't on the same plane. And I know you lost that one game, as I've explained before. Head-to-head is a great tiebreaker. But you didn't finish tied with Texas last year, so it's kind of a moot point.
All right, so let's move on to the best throwback logos, because I did not agree with this list that you put together.
Okay.
But I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to hammer your list.
I'll say this.
These are lists that you put together. It's your opinion.
Well, and on this list, it's I don't feel strongly about it. So I love probably 8 or 9 of those throwbacks.
Yes.
And so I'm not like, it's hard to put any of them number 6 through 9 because I really like those logos. So
I love the disco OU being last. It sucks.
Yeah, it's like they didn't even try. It's word art.
The West Virginia logo, I don't think I've ever seen that one before, but it's a football only logo. So I would have put that 9th, if not 10th.
Yeah, that's fair. I like
weird
it.
Logo.
I like the state of West Virginia behind it, but
I've never seen the sexy Jayhawk.
Really?
No.
It was
I thought you were going to go with the angry Jayhawk that says KU on his chest.
So I'll say this. Obviously, most of these programs have been around 100 plus years. And they have more than one retro logo.
Yeah.
And that was sincere feedback we got from fan bases, which I appreciate. They're like, hey, this throwback logo is even better than the one you used. So we have a part 2 coming out tomorrow or Wednesday with like alternate throwback logos. And angry Jayhawk will be on there. Some others that people requested will be on there and kind of like re-ranks them based on a different set of throwback logos.
I like the cyclone that's holding the flag. Do you see, have you seen that one?
Yeah.
I like that one.
The wildcat holding the flag?
No, it's the bird.
Cyclone okay. I thought that's bird. The one I used.
No, he doesn't have a flag here.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So
it's a similar bird, but it has the,
yeah.
And then, Nobody got the tied for 4th thing.
I wonder if they even noticed or if they
That's the only bit that I contributed in the nobody got it. Nobody got that it was them clearly copying Texas Tech.
Yeah. I got to say another thing, Rob. Obviously, you and I are diehard Texas Tech fans. I've given the spiel before about got my degree, got my wife from Texas Tech. I can't rank Tech number 1 and 2 on all these lists. Like, we can't be that big of homers. And so so we put the dull double T tied for 4th. And Raider Red, of all people, quote tweets us looking for beef. He's like, I can't believe you disrespect the double T. Like, I was like, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's going to be some lists where Tech is in the bottom half. Because, look, it's not going to get any engagement. Other fan bases aren't going to take it seriously at all. They shouldn't take it too seriously, but they're not going to take it seriously at all if Tech is number 1 on every single one of these lists.
Yeah. First of all, these people saying we have no credibility. I don't care. I do not care. I do not care if you think that the Gambling Gauchos have credibility enough to make a stupid effing internet list.
They hadn't heard of us. They hadn't heard of us.
It's for fun.
Until the day they saw the list. And
hilarious.
So I don't know what the opposite or the inverse of gatekeeping is, but like people on Twitter who feel gatekept, like you shouldn't be allowed to make this list. I'm like, dude, you can make a list. Like literally go into Microsoft Excel.
Yes.
Do a screenshot and put it on Twitter. Anyone can do this. Like we're not the New York Times here. No. Make your own list. I don't care.
Yeah. It's just, it's funny. And I'm really enjoying the list. I know you are too.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, if you have a list that you want made, Kyle has very ambitious plans to make 10,000 lists this summer. So send in your list ideas. You can DM us. Our DMs are open at Gambling Gauchos. Just incredible.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
We're posting these on Instagram as well, which is connected to our Facebook. Yes. So if you're not on Twitter or just want to follow us across platforms, we're also at Gambling Gauchos on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, before we move on to a few other, do you have the next list you want to tease or?
So I teased the other
the throwback logo.
Throwback part two. I don't know what's going to come out for that.
Is there another? You can do like a Dirk West Raider Red?
Yeah, so I am going to start making some Texas Tech specific lists. I don't want people to think that I'm like pitting Red Raiders against each other or whatever, so I have to be careful on that. But I've got several in the hopper, several in the drafts. Right. I don't know what I'll post Thursday, Friday, but we're going to try to do one every day, Monday through Friday.
All right. Before we get into the next list, because I want to ask Kyle about a list I'm creating, let's listen to Matt Mooney and the opportunities he has coming up at not only the Matt Mooney camp, but also his foundation that he's been working on. All right, fourth annual Matt Mooney basketball camp coming up in August. Tell us about that, man.
Yeah, man, my fourth one. I love doing it. This year is going to be a four-day camp. It's going to be August 8th through 11th at the Lubbock Christian Recreation Center. It's a beautiful facility. They got four brand new courts last summer in there. So we'd be doing three sessions, third to fifth, boys and girls, sixth to eighth boys and girls, and 9 to 12 boys. And yeah, it's going to be 4 days. So this year, I feel like every year I learn some stuff. And, you know, so I've learned from my first three camps. I've got it under my belt. And, you know, I've got some great people coming and helping me. I got some great sponsors in the community who are helping me get kids in who can't afford the full price. So that's something I struggled with the first 2 years, is just the organization of it, because I wanted to get kids in, but I didn't know the system to do it. And, you know, now we got to set up, like, you know, I partner with some great people in the community to help me do all that. I got it on my website at mattmooney.net /camp. So you can see all the information on there. And for people who want to sponsor campers too, you can sponsor on my website. You can apply for scholarship on my website and you can register on my website. And yeah, this year is going to be the best year yet. And, I'm going to have some of the players from this Sweet 16 team are going to be making an appearance. I can't say who yet, but they're going to show up, because I know the kids, I'm old now. They forgot about me and some other guys. So we're bringing some guys from this year's team. And it's not just I understand that some camps are just – they just try to make money, and I really want to try not to do that. You know, I want to try to use – I've been blessed to play for a ton of different coaches and play for some awesome coaches, awesome player development guys, and I want to teach a lot of that stuff to the kids. And help them get better. So that's what we're going to do.
For interested businesses or maybe interested Texas Tech podcasts, how much is it to sponsor a camper?
Yeah, actually, I need to touch on something else. But to sponsor a camper is so it's $240 for the 4 days. So to sponsor one camper would be $240. But that money would actually probably sponsor more than one camper, because most of the discounts we give are 25% off, 50% off. We try to work with people on what they can afford. Well, we're doing a special giveaway. So if either of you guys know anybody wants to sponsor camp over $500, you get to compete in a 3-point contest against the other sponsors in front of the whole camp. All right. So start working, tell your guys, start working on a 3-point shot, and the winner gets, my game-worn jersey from when I was on a 10-day with the Knicks this year. So, nice. And something else, but for sure the game-worn jersey. And Yeah, and a chance for bragging rights and video footage. You can tell everybody, hey, I won a three-point contest. So
absolutely.
I think we'd have to bring in a ringer if we had any chance at that.
Yeah, we might have to add I don't know, we might make
a third guy to the podcast before we
Might make Davide Moretti a co-host so he can do the three-point contest for us.
Right, you can pick somebody that's related to you. So I don't know if Moretti would qualify.
Okay.
Right. No, we're brothers.
Yeah. Well, cool. So mattmooney.net, if folks want to learn more about the camp, if they want to inquire about scholarships, and is there still room for more kids to register?
Yeah. There's more room. You know, the high school group is the most room left. But the other groups, there's probably still about 30-40% of capacity. So there's room. Okay. We're still trying to get kids in there.
Awesome.
I did want to ask before we let you go, the 31-8 Foundation too. Tell us what you're doing with that.
Yeah, man. That foundation is, I started it after my dad passed away. He passed in 2021, January of 2021. My dad was awesome. Okay. He was an awesome guy and a great dad. Cancer and, he taught me how to play. He taught me everything. And he was just always there. You know, he was supporting me and came to my games. He came to a ton of my Tech games. He came to the tournament. I mean, that was just the coolest thing to experience with that with him. When he passed and, I just was thinking like, all right, how can I honor him? And how can I also honor the Lord? Because, you know, God has given me so much. He's given me a gift like basketball. Yes, I've worked hard at it. I've worked really hard, but God gave me a gift. I mean, I wouldn't be here without the God-given ability. So, I just wanted to try to put those two things together. And what we do is, you know, we provide free workouts to kids who can't afford training or workouts, and mixed in with some spiritual mentorship. So just teaching them about scripture and identity and, you know, how to treat, you know, young men, how you treat women, which, you know, I messed up at a lot in my life, probably sharing too much for this podcast right now, but we just try to be good examples for the young kids, and we tie in basketball because a lot of kids don't have fathers or people that they can train with. So I'm trying to do a lot more with that this summer, and my camp is a way to do that. I kind of try to mix the two in my camp as well. Thanks for asking about that, Rob.
Yeah, hey man, we really appreciate you, and we're so glad that you are a part of the Texas Tech family, even if it is just 1 year. And we're rooting for your success, your startup, your camps, and obviously in your basketball career. Put us down for a kid. We'll go to the website and do that too. But we really appreciate you coming on with us, man.
Thanks, guys. Either one of you want to be in the 3-point contest? I could
I'll
let
do
you
it, in, man. Bro. I can probably hit. I can Kyle's probably hit in. About 15%. Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, we got a follow up. It's going to be on. I got it on my Instagram, but I think we're going to do it on Wednesday, either after the first or second session. Okay. So we'll stay in touch on that, but all that right. would be great.
Yeah, we're going to sponsor a kid because, you know, hey, we believe in what you're doing on and off the court. And, you know, it's important for young men and women, I guess, come to the camp and learn the skills on the court and also learn about, you know, how discipline, things like that helps you off the court. And so we'd be honored to help a camper who otherwise might not be able to make it show up this summer. And appreciate awesome. You coming back to Lubbock and sowing more into the Lubbock community. You know, you could have played 1 year and just left, but, you know, coming back and giving back to the community is awesome to see. And we really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Lubbock's given me more than I could ever have imagined, to be honest with you guys. And if you think of a kid that you want to sponsor specifically, you can do that. Your money can go straight to them, or okay. we can pick through the scholarship process. Up to you guys.
Okay. Very good. Well, we will stay in touch on that. And Moon Swag, again, man, thanks for joining us. We had a blast, and we will be in touch ahead of your camp this summer.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. All appreciate right. it.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Guns up.
Go Air Raiders.
Yep.
That was Matt Mooney. The full interview, you can listen to him, Kyle, and I discussing his career at Texas Tech, the lead up to his career, the transfer portal, NIL opportunities, and more, as well as his entry into the basketball tournament and the disappearance of his nickname, Moonswag, all on Patreon. You can find it linked to our Twitter bio or just patreon.com, then search Gambling Gauchos.
He kind of had an interesting take on Chris Beard.
He did.
And I guess I was a little bit surprised by it. I don't want to offer any spoilers. I don't even know if I necessarily disagree with it, but I thought it was interesting. So we can leave it there.
He's a very well. I've always been a big fan of just Matt Mooney, the human being.
Yeah, love him.
And also, no spoilers, but 3-point contest coming up.
Yeah. All I can say right now is stay tuned.
Okay. Yeah, keep that elbow in, man. When you're going. All right.
Kobe.
All right. Top 10 Texas Tech quarterbacks 2000 on. How would you rank, and you don't have to do them all because I'm putting you on the spot, but low end, does Davis Webb crack the top 10? Is Baker Mayfield the only winning record for Cliff Kingsbury cracking the top 10? We got Alan Bowman in there.
The obvious would be the consecutive guys, Kingsbury, Simmons, Hodges, Cumbie. I got Hodges and Cumbie flipped there.
That's going to be all in the middle.
Yeah, they all had great seasons, other than Kingsbury, only got to play 1 year. But Mahomes, just because of the talent, perhaps either the most underrated quarterback, maybe the most underrated player in some time, Seth Dagey.
Would be,
I love Seth Day,
in front of the rest that you've just named?
He's in the middle of that pack. I'd have to look at it and sort it out. He's somewhere with Cumbie Hodges. He also had some longevity. He was a starter for 2 years.
Yep. He had to deal with Neil Brown. Right. And I think that's underrated.
So that's six guys. Looking back, Nick Szymanek.
Back at you.
I think Nick Szymanek, there were a lot of seasons since 2017 where I was like, I wish we had Nick Szymanek back there right now.
Nick Szymanek is on my list.
So he'd be
in the top 10.
He's seventh or so.
You haven't said number one yet.
Oh, Harrell, of course.
Yeah. There you go.
Sorry, I guess I just completely glossed over that.
Yeah.
So that'd be number eight. So I'm down to 9 and 10. Do you just go Potts and Sticks to round it out?
See, Sticks threw, I think, 500 passes or less, 150 passes maybe in his career.
He wasn't ever a full
Potts season starter. Basically a 2-year starter.
Do you go, I mean, Shuck has started 3 games. Donovan started 5.
Could you put Nick in there instead of Taylor?
Yeah. I don't know.
There's a game on Getty. And I'll have to go back and look, but there's a game with Taylor Potts, and all of the photos are just from the front. And I wonder if they've gone back and watched all of the photos that say Nick on the back of his jersey.
I mean, do you have to say Alan Bowman just like by default?
No, you don't. He is not in my top 10.
Okay. I mean, I think super highly of him, but
no. I mean, Davis Webb was a Big 12 freshman of the year.
Yeah. I think Davis Webb would crack the top 10. So I'm down to one guy.
Right.
I guess it'd be Potts or Bowman. Heck, maybe Donovan. How many guys on that list can claim they won a bowl game, you know?
Right. Against, you know, a pretty good team.
Against the guy who coached the other six guys on the list.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like Cody Hodges, where do you put him? Is he one of the best quarterbacks in Texas Tech history? I don't know, but how many Texas Tech quarterbacks started a Cotton Bowl season?
Yeah.
Right, and then Sonny Cumbie only played 1 year, but beat Aaron Rodgers in the Holiday Bowl.
Look at the schedule Cody Hodges played. Beat OU in Nebraska, played national champion Texas in Austin, played Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. And I don't remember if A&M was good that year. They were kind of hit or miss in the 2000s. I want to say they beat A&M that year. Is that correct?
Ooh.
I don't remember.
2005?
I can't remember. I don't know on that. But
yeah, BJ was in 03.
Even just beating OU and Nebraska in the same season is pretty incredible. I guess they didn't have any notable non-cons that year. That was like Florida International and Northwestern State, or you know, something like that.
Right.
But anyway, impressive. I think they were 9-3 in the regular season. Had a shot, obviously, to have a 10-win season in the Cotton Bowl, if not for the ugliest made kick I've ever seen in my life.
And the dude's knee was down early in the game. Caught the pass on his knee, the hitch route.
Yeah. Hodges is one of those guys. If he had 2 years like Potts or Daigie, I think he'd be in that upper echelon for sure.
Florida International, Sam Houston State, Indiana State is the non-con. And then Kansas, this is 05.
Yeah. Oh, they beat Kansas State that year. I think.
Beat Nebraska by 10 in Nebraska. Beat Kansas State by 21, 65-44.
That was the Dwayne Slay hit.
At home, yeah. Lost to Texas, beat Baylor and A&M 44-29. A&M at home. I watched that game from the grass.
Yep.
On the double T.
So Cody Hodges beat A&M, Nebraska, and OU in the same season.
Yeah.
Lost to the eventual national champion, undefeated in at their home stadium.
Yep.
And lost to Alabama at the Cotton Bowl in a game that very, very easily could have gone the other way.
That game.
Ugh. Brutal, brutal. I remember watching it.
Oh, I was also just reading passing attempts and completions, not scores. What an idiot.
Oh, 29 of 44, not bad.
What an idiot. Anyways, go ahead.
Won
by 21 points.
So, stupid. Yeah, Hodges is right in the thick of it there with a guy like B.J. Simmons, in my opinion.
Man, I always kind of chalked up Cody Hodges as the worst of that group.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
The other thing that's
just
difficult.
Just thinking back, I was just – and it always just seemed like at the end of the year, Graham Harrell was so ready to take over. And I remember thinking in that Cotton Bowl, just put Graham in. What are we doing? But maybe that's just me being unfair because just revisionist history probably.
Yeah. And the other struggle I have ranking Texas Tech quarterbacks, Mahomes gives me a lot of difficulty because he was the best in terms of talent, but his teams accomplished less than all the Kingsbury, Simmons, Harrell, Hodges, Cumby teams. And so it's just how do you weight the – if Mahomes went 8-4 one year here, he'd be second to only Harrell as far as time spent in Lubbock. But but he didn't go 8-4 here. That's the whole issue. So.
Do you want to guess the fifth leading tackler in Texas Tech in 2005?
Oh, gosh. The fifth leading tackler in 2005.
This is leading somewhere. That's your hint.
Okay. Putting me on the spot a little bit. Dwayne Slay was like Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, so I imagine he was higher than fifth.
He was the leader. His name came up this week. His son plays in high school.
Son plays in high school. Am I blanking on like really obvious hints?
His son was offered by Texas Tech this week.
Oh, Paul.
No. Well, he might have been too.
Oh,
but I'm talking about
Meeks.
Vincent Meeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul Williams. I think it was the last time. His son was also offered by Tech.
Nice.
Earlier, and he was a linebacker in 2005, I think. But yeah, so Vincent Meeks.
Does that like that's borderline? I know you're still like what in third grade in 2005, but that's borderline making me feel old as like what a high school sophomore in 2005, maybe even a junior football season 2005. That's tough. No, that's sophomore.
Yeah, does it make you feel old that Vincent Meeks' kid was offered a scholarship?
Yeah, and the dude, like, what did I see? A 4.43?
Fast.
And another kid, Dingle, by the way, commits today.
Okay, is that who it was?
Miguel Dingle Jr., 106% committed. By the way, there's no such thing as 106. It's 100. You can't be more than 100%. Dangle, a 13.5 in the 110 hurdles at 6'1", 210.
Is this the linebacker I was telling you about?
Yes, a 4.45 40 linebacker. 210, 6'1".
So there's a secret, not so secret poster on Red Raider Sports with a lot of insight into Texas Tech's current scouting and recruiting. And he said there are 12 high school prospects that played linebacker who ran that hurdles time, weighed that much. And there's one other metric he was looking at. 10 of those 12 currently play or used to play in the NFL. The 11th probably would have, but he was involved in a forklift accident. And the 12th is this kid. So we've talked about it before, but they're looking at all kinds of measurables and metrics on these guys. They know what they're looking for. And it's not just all on tape. I mean, they're looking at crazy stuff like ankle flexibility. And
right,
these guys, you know, they don't have offers, but they're finding diamonds in the rough or guys that can at least be molded into that potentially. You know, they're finding the guys who fit the profile that might not necessarily have the tape yet. And then they're also just getting a ton of 4 stars as well who have both. So,
by the way, that info from the Discord, if you want to join our Patreon, you would have had that info early. I think it was Chase that posted in the Discord. I'll say this too. The 2023 class that's wrapping up here, Kyle, I'm not asking you to like spoil anything, but how many bodies do you think are added to that? Because there is some flexibility now, I think it's uncapped if you want to go further. But otherwise, it kind of seems like they're moving on to 2024.
Yeah, I think they're probably down. I would have to look at who they have, but you're probably down to the point where like you have one or two spots per position group left. And in a lot of cases, it's probably the case that the first guy who commits is, you know, like I'm just making this up. For an example, like, okay, we have one linebacker spot open. We have 5 committable offers out. Whichever one of you wants to be the last linebacker in this class, hop on board. And as soon as one of you commits, we'll probably stop recruiting the other 4. So you're probably down to being a little bit pickier and just sort of rounding out some position groups. You know, that there were other classes in the past where you're like, you're at this point or even much later and you're like, okay, we don't have a quarterback yet. We only have one offensive lineman. Like we need to add numbers there. But I think you've got a lot of diversity at the positions you've recruited. And so you're probably just, yeah, counting the number of scholarships, counting the numbers, saying, okay, we need one more guy on the defensive line, one more linebacker, stuff like that.
So this Dingle character, 6'1", 210. And this, in the past, if it was Matt Wells or Cliff, I would be kind of freaking out at this. But because it's this scouting department, I'm 100% behind this kid. You ready? 2 offers. This is a 2023 prospect. 2 offers. Charlotte and Texas Tech. Unrated, 0 stars.
Yeah.
But I trust implicitly that this kid is just the athlete that's going to be put in the right position.
I'll go back to what Joey McGuire told us at the Lubbock Rotary Club several months ago. He said, when we offer a guy and he has no offers, don't worry. Our scouts are just better than everybody else's. And until that is proven inaccurate, you know, like to me, they've gotten it right more often than they've gotten it wrong. Tavares Elston, the kid from Alabama, you offered him. He had 2 group of 5 offers. Right after you offer him, he gets rated a 5.7 high-end 3-star on Rivals. And then UCF and a couple Power Fives come after him. So it used to be the case when I saw a kid with no offers get offered by past coaches, I thought, okay, they're not fishing in the same pond as Oklahoma State and Baylor. Now, when you offer a kid like that, I just think to myself, they found a stud before anybody else found him.
Yeah.
And that is a great place to be in. I love it.
Speaking of studs, Luke Jones from the Lubbock Matadors, we spoke to him. We're going to give you his interview in full now. Really, really fun to talk to. Great West Texas accent. Let's talk to Luke Jones here from the Lubbock Matadors, another great sponsor of ours. Here's Luke Jones. Or this is Luke Jones from the Lubbock Matadors. How you doing, Luke?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you both?
Fantastic. Doing well.
And I hear a bit of an accent. Is that West Texas you're from? Or
no, I'm from England, the UK, a bit far away. The other side of the pond.
Yeah, across the pond.
Just a hop skip, huh? How are you enjoying Lubbock?
I am really enjoying it. It's a fantastic opportunity for me to come here. My college is in Indiana, so it's quite a far away to come to Texas. But the heat, I'm enjoying it, the community, everything. It's definitely a lot different, but completely enjoying it.
Yeah, how does Lubbock and your university in Indiana, how does that compare to your hometown back in the UK?
So I'm from Rugby in the UK. The difference is, like, I don't know, in Texas, like, it's very dry, like, the wind's very dusty. That's definitely something I've had to get used to. And the temperature being 100 Fahrenheit every day has definitely been a struggle. But I've got a nice tan, so I can't really complain. My mum's very jealous of me because the weather's not really, doesn't really get that warm in the UK. But
yeah. So you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you scored the first goal in Lubbock Matadors history. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but as a native West Texan, I do. Mm-hmm. You scored it 8 minutes, 6 seconds into the game, 806, mm-hmm. which is our telephone area code out here. So,
wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, I missed the opener, but Rob was tweeting, mm-hmm. he said, you know, we just scored the first goal in Matadors history at 806. Wow. And I was like, that is just the coolest thing ever. But
meant to be.
Yeah. So I'm sure you've scored a lot of goals, you know, in your collegiate career, your mm-hmm. Your career as a youth soccer player. But had you scored a professional goal before, or was that your first as well?
For the NPSL, yeah, this is probably. But just in my career, I felt like this is the most proudest moment, definitely. To score the first goal for this club is obviously a big achievement for me personally. And hopefully I've got two more after that. So hopefully to score some more goals is definitely on the agenda for sure. But the first goal was definitely up there as my best soccer moment, definitely.
How do you feel the Matadors are progressing in year mm-hmm. one? Just not only as a team on the pitch, but mm-hmm. Maybe just as a unit off the field as well.
The people on and off the pitch has done is fantastic. You know, the professional environment, we have GPSs, we have sports science people working with us to help on our workload, etc. The involvement with the community, so with the soccer camps, we actually have a soccer camp coming up next month, the start of July. We get 4,000 people to our home games, which is fantastic. Even today, every Monday, we go to Texas Roadhouse. Fans come along as well. So just little details like that just create a really professional environment. And that's something that I've never experienced as a player. So coming here and taking that just gives me so much more extra motivation to continue to perform.
Yeah, and it's been cool to see from the fans' perspective as well. You know, the Lubbock Matadors, I know, is a new team for you and all the players and coaches, but it's also new to us fans. And, you know, I didn't know how many people would show up to the games. And once they showed up, I was like, okay, is this a good crowd? Is this an average crowd? And, you know, I see the social media clips when y'all go play in other cities. Yeah. And it looks like to me, Lubbock has one of the biggest crowds, if not the biggest. Can you speak to that as far as the home environment and the fans here versus when y'all go on the road?
Yeah, definitely. For the home games, we get so many people. It's amazing being on the pitch, the support that we get. And then going to the away games, getting considerably a lot less people. So really, the community vibe here is fantastic. And if we can carry this on, get some more wins, hopefully get even more people out, that would be fantastic as well. But like you say, the support here is really overwhelming. We appreciate it a lot.
So on Saturday, your last game, you just dog stomped Austin, which was mm-hmm. awesome. What was it, 5-0?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Temple coming up mm-hmm. tomorrow, Wednesday, if you're listening to this, maybe not on Tuesday when we're recording. But and then you have Irving on Saturday, then one final home game in July against Denton.
Mm-hmm.
3 out of 4 at home. You need a strong finish.
We do.
How does that shape up?
I mean, for a summer team, you start off with a roster of all new players to get the chemistry together, to get the coaching points that coach is trying to incorporate in the team, the culture. It takes time, definitely. But we're at that point now where we know everyone, we're really bonding, and the results are definitely going to come. I feel confident in that.
Yeah, you guys are in an interesting spot right now. You know, I looked at the table, not the standings, but the table. I'm learning the soccer lingo. That's why I was impressed when Rob said nil instead of zero a minute ago. But
worked in pitch as well. Thank
yeah.
you.
Pitch. Yes.
I got you.
So you guys are kind of at the middle of the table, you know, have an opportunity to either move up or down from there. Mm-hmm. Give us kind of a look ahead at, you know, I know you don't want to look too far ahead in terms of overlooking mm-hmm. opponents, but do you think you'll have an opportunity to secure some wins as you go down the stretch here?
Yeah, definitely. So before the last home game, we had a really long away stretch of about 3.5 weeks. And not being able to play at home was a real struggle. The travel was long. We didn't get the result we wanted. We could have got one good result against Brownsville, but unfortunately it didn't come off. So we're really, really focusing on these next home games. We've secured the first home game, and obviously we've got two more. We're on good momentum, so we do feel confident. But for our standings, it is really important that we get 6 points out of the next two home games, definitely.
Is that how does that work? 2 points for a win?
No. So it would be 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie or a draw, and then 0 for the loss. But I know in college soccer, if you tie, then it goes to overtime and it's kind of like golden goal. Whereas for this league, it's you just take the draw, which is 1 point, which is a bit different.
Yeah. So they didn't tell us that you're from the UK when we signed up for this interview. So I've got mm-hmm. all kinds of questions out of left field for you if you'll go down the rabbit hole with me.
Of course.
First and foremost, if I'm not mistaken, the United States and England are in the same World Cup group.
Yes.
This fall. Mm-hmm. I guess generally high level, what are your thoughts on the World Cup coming up? And obviously I know you're going to root for your home country, but do you have any secondary allegiances or, you know, players that you like to root for besides just the English national team?
My granddad is actually Welsh, and Wales are in the same group as England and America as
Oh,
well.
Wow. Okay.
So my second team would definitely be Wales. But I feel like England are a strong favourites this year. And if we lose to America, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say much more on that.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I remember when they were in the same group in, I guess it was 2010.
Yeah.
And
you know, you won 1-0, I think, was it?
I think it was a draw, and it shouldn't have been. You know, England was the better team, but there was a pretty weak shot got away from y'all's keeper, mm-hmm. and I think it was 1-1. And then we tied Slovenia in the second mm-hmm. game. Should have won. We were down 2-0 at halftime. Should have won 3-2, but the referee screwed us over, called a non-existent foul.
Of course they did, yeah.
No, really, you go. I'll send you the YouTube video. And then the third game, I think it was in stoppage time, and they beat Algeria 1-0, and we barely got through somehow on 5 points, even though I think Slovenia and England were way better that year. But anyway, you know, in the U.S., expectations are obviously very different. It's just kind of like we just want to make the knockout stage, whereas I know countries like England and Germany, Argentina, they want to go, you know, all the way. So
there is a lot of promise, though, for the 2026. You're hosting some of the games in the U.S., Mexico and Canada. And I feel like by that time, you've got a lot of good young soccer players who would hopefully reach the level for that time. So I'll be hopeful, definitely.
Very good. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
No, I've been told a lot, but unfortunately I don't have Apple TV. Otherwise I would give it a go.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite of your situation. It's, you know, an American football coach goes across the pond, has no idea what he's doing, coaching a soccer team. And, but you know, he starts to get the hang of it. And, anyway, you might enjoy it kind of from the opposite of your perspective student athlete coming over from England. So, if you do get Apple TV someday, you should check it out.
I'll definitely give it a go. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah.
Do you have any soccer movies that you want to give him, Kyle? Maybe The Big Green or something?
Yeah. The Big Green? I don't know many soccer movies. I never saw
Bend It Like Beckham.
I never saw that one.
All right. Have you seen Goal before?
No, I don't think so.
Goal, huh?
Okay. I think there's one called Green Street as well about the football hooligans.
I was about to say that's my favorite soccer movie. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Green Street Hooligans.
Have either of y'all seen... movie. It was an ESPN 30 for 30 called The Tale of Two Escobars. It was about a Colombian national team player.
Oh, I've heard the story. It's a real story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a documentary based on real events. That's the closest I have to a soccer movie, Rob.
You need to check out Green Street Hooligans. That's, I can't think of his name. The Hobbit.
Yes. It's on my tongue as well.
Elijah Wood.
I think. Well,
maybe not. So, do you have like a pro comp maybe that you would compare yourself to? We're talking about the World Cup. Some maybe famous soccer player that people would say, "Oh, that Luke Jones guy, he plays like him."
To be honest, a lot of my teammates say, but he's one of my favorites as well. Is Phil Foden? He's an English midfielder. He plays for Manchester City. We're both left-footed. I see some of his qualities in my own game as well, but obviously he's the next level. But before games, I always like to watch his highlight videos. Really motivates me, really gets me switched on in the game. But yeah, he's a top-class player, and just to follow what he does is helped me out a lot, definitely.
That's awesome. Do you have any superstitions that you do before the Matadors games?
A coffee. Have a coffee. I like to take PKs. I like to take penalties after the warm-up. I have to make sure I hit it in the side netting one or two times, so right in the corner. And I don't go back into the changing room until I've hit the side netting at least twice. And I'd say that's it.
So you mentioned you attend school in Indiana.
Correct.
Do you play for the University of Indiana?
I play for Indiana Tech, which is in Fort Wayne.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was going to say, like I said, our podcast is mostly focused on Texas Tech sports. Mm-hmm. We have a women's soccer team, but not a men's soccer team. So we can encourage our listeners and fans, if they want a men's soccer team to root for during the school year, follow you at Indiana Tech. And, you know, the people here, they're just sports crazy. And so, you know, they adopted the Lubbock Matadors. And I'm sure if they're looking for a collegiate men's soccer team that, now that they've kind of heard from you and know you a little bit, that they'll start pulling for Indiana Tech and watching you after you go back to school this year.
Yes, definitely. Come root for us. I think this year we've lost quite a lot of players, but our coach has been getting a lot of players in. But why is it that Texas Tech don't have a men's soccer team?
So
great question.
I'll answer to the best I can. In the United States, in the collegiate athlete model, you have to offer the same number of men's sports programs as you do women's programs. And so, you know, obviously there's men's football teams and women's volleyball teams that like don't have both genders playing. So every now and then, you know, once you get down the line, 10 or 12 sports in some schools, you know, to make sure that the number of scholarships and number of teams is equal, you know, a lot of schools, like almost no schools in Texas or in the Big 12 conference where Texas Tech plays, have men's soccer. So it's just kind of a weird deal. And like Iowa State plays in the same conference as Texas Tech. They don't have a men's baseball team and, you know, they play other sports. So it's kind of weird in college. And I guess just in the sense that not every school has every sport, you know, like Texas Tech doesn't have hockey, wrestling, men's soccer. And a lot of other schools do have those sports. So it's just kind of different school by school on some of those.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. So.
Yeah.
The Indiana Tech coach, that's Paul Gilbert, right? The same?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. All right. So cool. That's a cool, I guess, he recruited you to come down here with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, he was hired late in the spring. So he gave me this great opportunity to come down here, but it's a win-win for me really, because I get to know more about Paul and his culture and his playing style. And I can use that here. And then in the fall, I've already got a head start over my teammates on what I need to do to perform for him. So yeah, it's a win-win for me.
Very good. Well, Luke, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
No, thank you. It's been amazing speaking to you guys.
Yeah, we're going to be out there tomorrow night or on Wednesday night, depending on when folks are listening to this. We're going to be pulling for the Lubbock Matadors the rest of the season. When England isn't playing the United States, I'll root for them in the World Cup for you. And
fantastic.
We'll keep an eye out for you at Indiana Tech as well once that season gets going again.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I hope to see you tomorrow as well. Well, Wednesday and Saturday as well.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. We'll be out there.
Do you have a social media handle or anything that people can follow you on?
Yeah, let me pull it up. So, Luke T. Jones 9 is the Instagram.
Awesome.
Instagram. All right. We'll follow you, man.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
That was Luke Jones joining us from the Lubbock Matadors here in the Cardinal Sports Center studio. That was fun, man. He was a great, great talk.
Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of athletes in my time. They're hit or miss.
Yeah.
Just speaking of athletes, Luke Jones was a hit. Luke Jones was really fun. And Matt Mooney was too. Matt Mooney always thought he was really well-spoken. Luke Jones as well. And I did not know that he was from across the pond when we started that interview.
Yeah.
But he was a good sport.
Yeah, he was so polite and had some great answers to some of that. And you know, you can only talk about like the upcoming game for so long. And so it was fun to talk about like the World Cup and all the other stuff too. That's all I got, all man. Right. I'm just going to be out here. I'll just be out here posting more lists on Twitter and having fun with Kansas fans and OU fans and whoever OU else.
Whoever else wants to. Do you have the softest fan bases worked up yet?
It's fluid based on how these other lists go.
Are you adding the new four schools into the next throwback logo conversation?
I got to address this. A lot of people, Rob, are not content creators.
Yeah.
And they've never had to go late May or early June all the way to September without any games or two-a-days to talk about or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you got to spread it out a little bit. So now that we know the new teams are joining the Big 12 next year, we'll do these same lists without Texas and OU with the new guys in it. But like, we got to save something for 2023's offseason. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't want to be left high and dry with nothing to do next summer. And I've got plenty to do with the current Big 12. So yes, next summer, UCF's Citronaut mascot will be number one on the throwback logo, but we got to be patient. We got to let that play out for a little bit.
I'll be honest. It would not be number one for me.
Oh, it's absolutely number one.
No.
I love that logo.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I was also lucky enough to be on with the Sons of UCF podcast. Go find them at Sons of UCF. It was a really, really fun interview. They're good dudes. They're good dudes. Excited to bring them into the fold. I'm sure we'll have one or two of them on as we start preparing for, as you said, 2023.
Yep.
All right, final thoughts?
Go Cardinals, go Rojino, Barnett, Howard, and Williams, Lubbock Matadors, Code Ninjas, Lubbock, Diversified Lenders. Did I forget anybody?
Just the future ones.
Also, hat tip and job well done to Chris Level. He's not really going anywhere. He's leaving Tech Talk after 17 years. He'll still be doing some sideline stuff and Tech basketball stuff, but he's kind of like the GOAT of Lubbock radio outside of course, the Rob Bro Show syndicated on ESPN. But I kind of doubt Chris Level listens to us, but maybe he has some friends who do. And you could tell it was kind of an emotional exit. He did a good job there. So
you don't think Chris Level's a gotcha?
I hope he is. I feel like he's probably busy and he's got his own content to listen to.
Did you hear the story of him walking up to the window and dropping the F-bomb at his producer?
No.
You'll have to ask him about it sometime.
Anything you want to say to Gaucho Nation, Rob?
I posted an emotional journey I've been on Twitter today. I was receptive of the feedback. I appreciate it. It's not easy for me to talk about, you know, not sports. It's pretty easy to talk about sports, but
sure,
life sometimes you try to keep bottled up. And I'm proud of the community we've built as a Gaucho Nation, and proud of the community I've been a part of for the last 7 years working at Talk 1340 and its many iterations, and on Twitter with the Texas Tech fan base. And I appreciate it. Looking to 7 more years for our next Jubilee year.
Absolutely. And not to hijack your story, which people should definitely go read, but it has been fun. You know, this is not something you expect when you start a sports podcast, but you know, you really do build personal relationships with people that you follow on Twitter, the guys in our Discord chat, and you know, small stuff like what you're about to go through, and you know, like when the Gauchita was born and people chipped in for a meal train, you know, it makes it a lot more fun to know that we're not just talking to the void here. And like, there's real people who care about you and I, and we of course care about them back. And that's probably like been one of the most rewarding parts of doing this podcast with you over the last year. So
absolutely. And we started as internet friends, and I like to think we're real friends now.
Yeah. Even though we still record virtually, it's more for convenience, not because we don't like each other.
Yeah. We're getting a studio. We need to hear back from those people.
Yeah. If anybody has a creative idea for a recording studio, wants to become a sponsor or something, hit us up. But anyway, I read it. I was real proud of you. And I know you'll continue to do great things and make strides there. So if y'all want, that's on Rob's Twitter. Go check it out. And that's all I have, man.
All right. Me too.
Do you want to say it or should I?
Love y'all.